This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Joe, we are back in Newport Beach, and it's Chrismica again, but not just any Chrismica, because we're having a Chrismica Bar Mitzvica, which is the name of this week's episode. And you know what's something that's this is adorable, Joe? Are you ready for the most adorable thing that's ever happened in the history of this podcast?
Tell.
So this episode is season 3. Episode 10, and you know what day it's coming out?
On 3/10.
March 10th, baby. We did it. All these episodes, we finally did it. We finally got the episode to correspond with the date.
We did it, Joe.
So I tried something a little bit different this week on the episode, and instead of writing, normally I write like probably 20 to 30 notes for every single episode. I didn't do this time. I just kind of wrote down, hey, here's the big things I want to talk about, and we'll let the conversation fly from that point. But as you can tell from the episode name, we're dealing with both a Christmas episode in Chrismica and someone's having our bar mitzvica. And it's kind of all dumb. Like, it's all very dumb.
You really love saying bar mitzvica, don't you?
I thought that was brilliant. When they said that, I cackled out loud. I said, that's genius.
It's a Chrismica bar mitzvica.
So, with this episode, the main focus is that Johnny is in the dumps because he can't afford the surgery. They decide that they're going to have this big bar mitzvah for Ryan, where he will donate all of the money that he gets from the bar mitzvah to Johnny so that he can get the surgery he needs to go back to being a professional surfer.
Mm-hmm.
So part of this is mostly mostly Seth's doing, right? Like,
yeah.
Seth is like, man, if only we all had bar mitzvahs, we could pull together our money. Then he's like, let's make Ryan convert to Judaism to save the guy who's trying to steal his girl.
An honorary conversion, as Sandy so, you know, eloquently put it. It's honorary.
It's so weird to me because I feel like this is the first time that I've really seen Sandy care greatly about Jewish traditions.
Right.
He lets his son. Yeah. He lets his son bastardize Hanukkah every single year. But this is where the line gets drawn in Sandy's life.
They keep bread in the house during Passover and only change it out when Nana comes to visit. But, you know, This yeah, is this the is, line.
Yeah, this is where the line gets crossed. And we learn a little bit about Seth's bar mitzvah because, boy, Seth can't do something that's not also self-serving. He was yeah. disappointed with his first bar mitzvah, so why not use his surrogate brother to get a second bar mitzvah out of the whole deal? Mm-hmm. And watching the tape, it's like, oh, Seth even sucked as a child. Like, he's just so whiny, so obnoxious, complaining about everything. That being said, his old bar mitzvah tape is definitely some of my hardest laughs that I've had in a while in this episode, because there's just some great, we'll get there on the soundtrack part, but there's some just great, like, musical needle drops for the sake of comedy, that are used to perfection. They're doing all of this for Johnny, and they're really Dean and Johnny now. Like, they're just like there's so many things in this episode where I'm like, that's not Johnny. Like, it's not. And like, Johnny has been like understanding and respectful about the fact that, yes, he has feelings for Marissa, but Ryan's his friend and she's off limits. And that's
yeah.
So like, the idea that he like goes in for a kiss, no bueno, don't like it. I don't think that that's fitting for Johnny. And certainly not that Johnny was going to get a gun and rob a place to pay for his surgery. Like, none of that yeah. matches the character of Johnny at fucking all. Like, this is the most frustrating thing with the OC is that, like, they
It'll
just
turn on a dime.
It's like a kid smashing a square puzzle piece through a circle. Yep. Like, they're just like, we got to get there, and we don't have the right character for it, but we're just going to fucking make them fit this piece regardless.
Yeah.
Because we're too lazy to come up with a more logical situation. Like, that made me so angry. Like, I get so angry when they do this to characters in this show, which is insane because they do it all the fucking time to characters on this
It's
show.
Also like, Johnny, you're not going to like get the money, all the money you need for your surgery by robbing like one convenience store.
Yeah.
Like,
not like a bar mitzvah. Not like a Newport Beach bar mitzvah is going to
exactly.
get you.
Not like a Newport Beach bar mitzvah. and then, like, also just, like, I completely forgot that that's where we go with the gun. I was watching it.
I thought he was going to kill himself. I was like, oh, he's going to kill himself.
I thought that, too. I was like, oh, my God, he's killing himself? I was like, what is going on with this? I was also, like, really high when I watched this. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get real high and then do my homework for white people problems. And I'm watching it. I was like, what is happening? I started laughing when, like, because it's also like they're having this like this like showdown between Johnny and like the cashier, but like,
yeah, that whole scene is shot like craziness.
Yeah.
And then Ryan just like walks in and diffuses the situation,
walks and, in like, and buys like a pack of smokes and yeah. a lottery ticket.
Yeah. And then like doesn't even leave the store before he pulls Johnny decides, like, you don't want to do this, man. Yeah. I know what it's like in the clink.
Yeah, exactly. I'm from Cheeto, man.
Dude, it's so outrageous. It's obnoxious. There's not much of a B plot in this beyond a little bit of like the Julie Cooper and Summer's dad situation that they're playing
with.
What
do you think about Dr. Roberts?
I like Dr. Roberts, but like, are they? I can't tell if this is immediately diving into romantic. I mean, it's Julie Cooper, of course, it's diving immediately into romantic storyline. But like, in my brain, I'm like, oh, this is good for Julie. She has like a male friend that she can trust and be her buddy. And I'm like, well, this is going to lead to sex really quick. Like,
what also made me really laugh was the fact that we got to see like Julie Cooper like doing dip.
I do love the way that they depict how awful Christmas is at this trailer park. Like, she's just, every time that someone knocks on the door, she can't imagine it's a friend visiting her and just thinks that it's the trailer park trying to loop her into some new like tradition that she doesn't want to be a part of. And that bit.
This is a pretty fucking festive trailer park.
I was going to say, you and I would thrive in this trailer park.
Yeah.
It looks community. Like they're doing shit. Yeah, they're doing shit all the time. Like, it seems great.
Yeah. Come on. Like you know, this is why. Sometimes the rich don't get the fact that the poors like know how to build community. Yeah. And she's like seriously seeing this as like a place to hide, but you know,
it's a place like, to be found, baby.
It's a place to be found, baby. That was good.
Thank you. But I will tell you this, the road to get to the ending was very rocky. Mm-hmm. I was not having a good time. But I mean, recency bias is a real motherfucker, because when we got to the end of this episode and they were all having a great time together at the bar mitzvah, I said, you know what, Joe? None of this matters. 3.5 stars. Why the fuck not?
So you know how like, and you know this because you're also like an indoor kid that watched a lot of TV, like that thing in especially in like the TGIF lineup where it's the holiday episode. And so they try to make an excuse for everybody in the show, all the principal characters, to be in the same room. So that way they can do a Merry Christmas or whatever at the end. I love that. It's so like, I love that trope is so transparent in this episode, because like they're doing the, you know, that's what friends are for group dance. And then like Dr. Roberts, who we have not freaking seen like except for like one episode in season one where he like didn't say a damn word to Seth, really. And then you have Julie Cooper, who is like telling Ryan like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, I'm here, but you know, I hope it's okay that I'm here. And Ryan's like, it's Christmas. It's like just it's the deus ex machina of like, it's the holidays. Come on. Like, let's put down our swords and turn them into plowshares, Julie Cooper.
Yeah. What brings family together quite like a Christmas bar mitzvah? And it's just hokey. It's cheesy, but like, You know what I want from the OC, which is not what the OC is here to provide me. Mm-hmm. And that's like a good low stakes story that like has a nice happy ending and a tight little bow on top of it. So when I get those, like this episode, sure. Like the highest of high stakes in this whole episode is Johnny with the gun. And that's handled so quickly and like forgotten about and moved on from that. I'm like, as frustrating as parts of this episode were, this was a very easy watch. It went down gently. It had some good laughs. It had some sweet moments. But yeah, like I said, this is kind of going to be one of our shorter episodes because there isn't really a beeline. It's just the story of them trying to plan this bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
But I like that this is an episode that, with very little additional information, like, we could do this episode for Christmas 365 and someone who hadn't watched the OC at all wouldn't be lost while watching it. They'd be like, all right, like this is pretty like concise. The previously on really fills you in on like the very quick beats of like, this is who Summer's father is that you're going to meet in this episode. This is what happened to Johnny. Like, let's get going. Let's do this.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include 7 best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs 2 of our hosts that have seen a show with 2 of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Hello, everyone. We're Superhero Stuff You Should Know. And if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance. We got action.
Romance.
We got comedy. We got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance. What part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
All right. So come on down to... Wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
So, Joe, all I can say at this point is let's talk about the music, because I actually have a lot more to say about the music in this episode than the episode itself.
Okay.
We kick it off, their Christmas tree shopping, to Christmas All Over by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. At the diner, Christmas Day in the Sun by Hot Hot Heat is playing. While Seth is watching his bar mitzvah tape, you hear That's What Friends Are For by Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight, and Elton John play, as well as the beginning of YMCA by the Village People. And then when Ryan sees Marissa and Johnny on the beach, the Christmas song by the Raveonettes plays. Now, there's a ton of just like generic instrumental Christmas music through this episode that I'm not even going to bother with. And then That's What Friends Are For comes up a second time. And Joe, I was originally going to make Christmas All Over my song of the episode because
I think it's
a really good and underrated Christmas song. Like you don't really hear it that much, but it's a good song. But by the time that second That's What Friends Are For played, I just said, of course, it has to be this. This is like literally the plot point song of the episode.
Yeah. I love that. It's like, you know, do you want to dance? And like, this song is called That's What Friends Are For. You should dance it with your friend. And I'm like, first of all, like, oh, God, this is the whitest bullshit I've ever seen. It's just like you put on That's What Friends Are For, which is like Elton John, Dionne Warwick, Stevie Wonder, like not a Jew among them.
Yeah.
Gladys Knight, not a Jew among them. And I don't know, like part of me is like, is this a thing? Like, I really want to ask like a Jewish person who was growing up around bar mitzvah season at this time, is this a thing? Because like there are like certain cultural touchstones, right? Like And this seems like such a niche thing that I wonder if it's like a real thing. I wonder if it's true.
It could be. My big connection, I don't really remember this song at the time that it was popular, because I think it was like popular a year before I was born, and I don't think it had the world's greatest staying power as far as songs go. But this was my soft hop theme, was That's What Friends Are For.
That seems perfect for you.
Well, I didn't pick it. That's just what it happened to be. That was my first exposure to the song. It's a good song, though. I think it's a very good, pretty song. But there is something really funny to me about, you know, the lead in with these needle drops is that Ryan's getting ready for this bar mitzvah, and Seth is trying to give him notes, and he's like, he says something about like, just make sure that you've got someone before That's What Friends Are For hits, because it's all downhill after that. So like, then we see the tape, and it the usage of like, Seth is sitting there complaining about how none of his friends came and that he was promised that Summer was going to be there and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he's like, just none of this is going great for me. And then you just hear like, bam, 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 bam. It's fun to go to the YMs. It's like such a perfect needle drop to just like pile on the circumstance. Cause like that is one of the most obnoxious earworm songs in the world that I love. Do not get me wrong. If I'm anywhere and that song comes on, I am on the dance floor. But it's an annoying song. And it just feels like the perfect like nail in Seth's coffin of how lame his bar mitzvah has gotten.
And like, do we love that like Luke is still being mentioned? Like, we kind of love that, right?
Yeah, well, I love and hate it, because I wish Luke was here. Luke wouldn't be putting up with half this bullshit.
That's
Luke
true.
Was a voice of reason.
That's true.
Luke would have calmed Ryan down before he caused Johnny to get hit by a car in the first place.
Yeah.
But
Luke's gay dad would have come in to save the day already.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Listen, man, this is the OC. We can't have a gay character here for more than a quick plot point. We got to keep the straight white people moving at all times. Mm-hmm. Marissa can maybe tease lesbianism for a couple episodes, but that's it. That's it. She goes back to loving the stick as soon as it's over. Well, Joe, as we know, similar to Marissa's lesbianism, the OC was a fleeting moment in pop culture. And on top of that, we all love some fleeting moments in pop culture. What is some pop culture thing that you absolutely have to talk about?
I'm going to absolutely talk about Beyonce releasing a fucking country song that is breaking the world right now and also healing the world, apparently.
And it's not a bad song. When you tell me Beyonce's doing country, I don't know what to expect, but it was pretty damn good, actually.
See, here's the thing. Beyonce already did a country song in Lemonade. It was Daddy Lessons. She famously, during the CMAs, after Lemonade was released, went to the CMAs and did Daddy Lessons with the Chicks, who had been like reviled and ostracized from the country community because, you know, they dared
they spoke
to
out
say
about Bush. Yeah.
Exactly. They dared to say, you know, truth about George Bush and George W. Bush. And that is like, I mean, it's also like, it's very interesting, right? Because like the song is country in the way that like people think about Louisiana and New Orleans as country. You know what I mean? Like in the way that there is definitely more soul because of, you know, just those, just the geographic location, the kind of culture that's there. But man, people are feeling a way about it, about this. And honestly, I think it's great because what I was thinking a lot about it, and you would swear like this song is like an episode of Right School because I was just thinking way too hard about the song. And what she's doing, right, is that like she's like with Act One, which was Renaissance, she like brought in like introduced the notion that like Black people and specifically Black queer people are responsible for like party pop dance music of the last quarter century with house music and all of that. Then you have now with Act Two, like basically returning back to the roots of country music, which is rooted in Black musicians, Black artists, and, you know, also directly related to, you know, the culture of enslaved Africans. And I've heard a rumor, this is a rumor that's floating around the internet, that Act Three, that this is going to be three different albums, right? That Act Three is going to be like rock and roll, but like going back to like the rock and roll sensibility.
Like a little,
that,
like a Little Richard.
Like exactly, like a Little Richard, types, yeah. Like, Sister Rosetta Tharpe. Like those types of things. And so it's like basically how she's talking about how like a very popular American music is like rooted inherently in Black culture, which like is such a long game to play. But also like you can only do that because you're Beyonce, right?
Yeah, like, no, 100%. Yeah. So like even someone like Lil Nas X couldn't get away with that because there's not the guarantee that you'd have the time, the length of your career to do this long game thing.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised like if on this album when it's released and by the time this episode comes out, it'll come out at the end of this month. I wouldn't be surprised if we got like collabs not only from Lil Nas X, but Taylor Swift from Dolly Parton. Like, I'm really curious to see
who
she pulls in, and like just to be like her creative team and her creative mind, because she is really like, if this is like a country album, she is really going to like test the boundaries of like what modern country music is, right? Like the white the lily whiteness of it all. Like, you know, she looked at these white people and she said, I'm the problem.
Yeah. Man, mine's so completely different. Mine's very short. I finally watched Once Upon a Studio on Disney Plus. Did you ever watch this short?
No.
It's a tearjerker if you are a Disney adult, for sure. And the premise is that some people are leaving Disney Animation Studios. They're talking about how they can't believe it's been 100 years of Disney Animation. And they close the door and they lock up the place. And as they're locking it up, the guy says, yeah, 100 years, man, if these walls could talk. And then all of the pictures of every single character throughout the history of Disney come to life. And they're all trying to get together to take a 100-year anniversary photo together outside of the studio. And like the way that it utilizes all these different animation styles, and like some of it's reused audio if it's a passed away voice actor, but then they also got a bunch of the voice actors to record new dialogue for it. It's really, in like a 12-minute short on Disney, it captures like so much of that magic that, like, I don't know, being a Disney fan is always a problematic walk because like there's a lot of bad in the background of Disney, and there's a lot of things where it's like, okay, well, now you're finally getting on the right side of history, but like you took your damn time. Or even just like, I'm sure for you, I know that I, as a straight man, get frustrated with this, but like, how many times can you advertise like, oh, this is the first queer relationship in a Disney film, and then like that first queer character in a Disney film is like two females holding hands in the distant background of a Pixar. You know what I mean? Like, it's like
a knowing, like, look exchanged between two best friends.
Yeah, like two pinkies gently touching. Like, it's just like, just like, do any, like, it takes them so long to just make the jump into anything anymore. So, you know, going into all that, you know that. But there's also this magic of being reminded of just like all of the things that were such a beautiful comfort to you when you were a lonely kid. And it was like, it didn't matter your skin color or what your sexual orientation was for like part of your world to speak to you when you hear it in Little Mermaid. And like being able to capture and bottle all of that energy into just this perfect 12-minute short is truly just a worth the, you know, 12 to 15 minutes or whatever it takes to watch, because it's just so special and well done. So that's my little pop culture thing, because let's be honest, Joe, being a Disney loving adult is some white people's shit. And what better way to wrap up this week's episode of White People Problems than, you know, a Disney short that I consider to be a white people solution. Yeah. So go and watch it.
A Disney short is a white people solution. I love it.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.